And so when I go to now, where I have the same husband that I tried to divorce with three beautiful children, dogs, a house I never dreamed I would have lived in, a business, and I've been sober this year for 6 years. So for the love of God, please just don't let me go ahead.
Hello, I'm David Mills. Welcome to Still Processing, a part of the Founders Table. I'm wired to touch the world like Jesus. As someone who is apostolic and evangelistic, that means I'm passionate about getting people on mission and helping them take new steps toward Him. I love to live on the margin between the church and the marketplace. And I'm joined by Amy Alexander.
Hey there. I love seeing people inside and outside of church empowered to be on mission every single day. I'm gifted to display Jesus to the world as I teach what's true and shepherd people in their journey. These Still Processing episodes are designed to help you continue chewing on the ideas, truths, stories, and conversations you had during your weekly foundation session. In a world where answers are a Google search away, we recognize that time spent in community and time spent with Jesus brings about deeper, more meaningful revelation. So, let's dive in and process together. Brittany, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi.
So today we're talking about mercy economics and kingdom economics. But before we do that, if you could just kind of introduce yourself, tell everybody who you are, what you do, what's your entrepreneurial heartbeat.
I am Brittany Poe. I am the owner of Poe's Point Closings. It is a real estate transaction and listing management company, which to anyone outside of that is like, well, what does that mean? So I help people close, like the back end stuff. So if you like go under contract on a house, I'm talking to your lender and talking to the closing attorney and making sure everyone has the contact information. I'm getting all your paperwork together, all the documents together. And yeah, so then listing side, same thing. I put like listings in the MLS, I do the descriptions and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not gonna lie, it was not something I ever expected. I won't say pre-Jesus, but like before I was really following, like really, like I believed in him always, but like, you know, I went to college for communications just because my dad was in PR and it was kind of cool. So that was like what I did. And I was kind of the generation, like you just go to college, like just do that. So that's what I did. And then when I went back and forth, my husband's military, I ended up being a paralegal. Loved that. Thought that was what I was going to do. Had a baby. And I swore I will go right back to work. That's what I've always done. Blah, blah, blah. And you know, the Lord be having people never in like they've never, never in their whole entire life. And so that's pretty much what happened. I, you know, had Bryn. And I'm like, there's just no way that I can give her to somebody. Like, even though I was not going to lie, I did not gracefully enter motherhood. I had postpartum. I did not want to be home. But, like, I knew I also could not give her to someone else. And my husband worked crazy hours. And it just doesn't make sense. But that was the first time, actually, that the Lord spoke to me. Like, that I had a dream. And he told me that I had to be a mom right now. And so I turned down an interview I had to stay at home with my daughter for 3 years and then dove into seeking the Lord like never before. And then probably learned because I was at home. Again, my husband was working like 6 a.m. to like 9 p.m. and weekends as a recruiter in the Marine Corps. I was home a lot, you know? So we got a lot of stuff packed in there. And then I moved to North Carolina with our second, and I'm like, what am I going to do for work? Like, I can't just, like, we're not, the Marine Corps doesn't pay enough to have, like, you know, so I'm like, what are we going to do? And I just felt like God was like, I have something. And of course, you guys may not know this, but my husband is not on the same page with me spiritually. So that can be hard to explain to someone in the flesh, like, God just has something for me. And they're like, yeah, what does that even mean to me? You know,
that doesn't sound like a plan to me.
Yeah. So it was crazy. I got a job offer in my old job. They were, and my husband, take it. And I'm like, you know, trying to fit the square peg in the round hole. I'm like, I can't explain it, but it's not for me. And then I ended up doing this for a real estate agent. When I was 8 months pregnant, she taught me fully virtual at home. And then I turned it into a business, which when I was staying at home, I would always say, God, I wish I had my own business, but I don't even know what I would do. Mm. And Lord, I would, and I would like, the way he brought me back in, which I don't even know why, but like, well, I do actually, because my nonprofit was with the homeless people video. Mm. And so it's funny because when I would watch all this stuff, I'd be like, Lord, if I just had my own money, like I would, you know, do all these things and blah, blah, blah. It's just crazy. Mm. Like, and I have journals and just like, it's just wild. It's just,
I think it's
a wild journey.
I think your story is a really important one for people to hear because for two things. One, like how many entrepreneurs are listening that are trying to give their business to Jesus while they also don't necessarily have that support from their spouse,
yeah,
which is a really big, lonely thing. And then mm-hmm. the other thing is, I mean, I relate fully with being someone. I was already an entrepreneur when I had my kids, but either way, after having them, there was no way someone was taking them. Like, I was not handing my six-month-old child or my six-week-old child or whatever age to some random person. It wasn't happening. So I think there's probably also a lot of people listening that have become entrepreneurs almost by necessity because they're choosing this life for themselves, one where they can be with their kids or be more available to their kids or get their kids off the school bus at 2 or whatever that looks like for them. It has to do with being mom or dad in their kids' lives. So, yeah, thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
And so just to be clear, just like to level set for everybody listening, do you do this by yourself or do you have other people who work with you or how does it go? How does it work?
Okay, so two things. I'm going to just really quick touch back on the story. So Dusty, my husband, he wasn't supportive when I turned down the initial job. But let me tell you what a testimony. Of course, he doesn't see it that way, you guys, but I frequently retell this story, right? That isn't it, because I kind of didn't tell this. In the car one day, I was struggling at that time with like really understanding, like God just gives us gifts, right? Like I'm like, God, you've done so much. Like how could I even, what do you mean? How could I ask you for anything? You know what I'm saying? And he was like, I want you to ask. I want a stay-at-home job, a real job, not a multi-level marketing, not this, not blah, blah, a real. So when this fake promise, right, comes of the, it's pretty much Egypt, an old job I was familiar with. I was like, this is what I asked for. And he was like, is it? And so to have to tell my husband, like, I don't know. And so we waited a full month. But let me tell you, once I got the exact job, I just was like looking at him like, y'all can't see my face, but you know, wives, I'm giving like the side eye. Like, you know, it's kind of like I told you so, you know? And he even said, like, I feel like you think prayer is magic. And I'm like, it's not magic. But when every sign points to no, and you guys, reading things, the one thing I'm telling my mother-in-law, the story, I read in my devotional, I know what is in your heart. I know the true desires of your heart. And it was like, I have something better for you. It was literally what I was saying. I was like, sorry, can you take the job? Doesn't make sense. And then,
yeah.
It's such
awesome.
A great story, you know, and also this discussion we had this week about Keynes economics, and we saw this video of this guy having multiple crashes, essentially. And every time that happened, you know that he probably got all kinds of offers to do all kinds of other things. He had warehouse space, he had equipment, you know, I mean, who knows who would have may have come his way. And if you don't know what it is that God's put in your heart, then you won't know which thing to say yes to, which thing to say no to, right? So I think I really appreciate you sharing that because I think, you know, the Lord put those desires in your heart. It, you know, the Bible says he works and wills in us for his good pleasure. So he creates those desires. And when you say them to him, then I think that's just a wonderful way of aligning with him.
Yeah. And you know, this when I... That whole time that he spoke to me when he told me to stay in with my daughter, that is the lesson that taught me, okay, wait a second. Lord, last time you told me to stay home and it worked. I didn't believe. I'm like, how are we going to live on one income? It worked. And I told him, I will not take this job without your... And I know sometimes, like, people are like, well, you can't just stand there and not do any... Sometimes that's the truth. But let me tell you, in those two instances, it's like I had a deadline. Like the morning he told me that I was going to stay home was the morning I had to answer the email, you know? And it was like the same thing with this. Like that's how I knew to wait because I was like, I don't know. He's just not giving me the go ahead, you know? And sometimes that can be a detriment. I'm not going to lie, because sometimes I think I'm, even as a, I'm not going to say mature, but more mature than I was Christian. Sometimes I think I still kind of wait for that. You know, I'm like, okay, so can I, you know, and it's not, as you know, in business, it's not always like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as entrepreneurs, we are the goers and doers. We are the people who charge ahead. So, and we live in a culture that really, you know, speaking of kingdom economics, like we live in a culture that really raises up and says, great job for charging ahead, going, being quick, being decisive, all of those things. We definitely don't live in a like wait culture for sure. And so I think often the waiting for people who are doers and goers is required.
Right. Yeah. It's excruciating too. It's totally excruciating, at least to me.
Yeah. Yes.
And I told, actually, it's funny because I said that like to Amber because, okay, I don't know about you guys, but like I have anxiety and I was like trying to explain this to my husband. And it's not always like what you would think. It's kind of like the old mentality of like the devil and the angel, but not like that one's bad or one's not. So for example, we go to Crossroads, as you guys do. Every message is amazing, but not every message is for every person, right? And Brittany has to realize that because like, I can take it as Joel saying something amazing, like, hey, you guys should be in your Bible. You should be doing this. And Brittany, who's already doing those things, goes, oh my gosh, I have to do more, you know? And that's absolutely not what Joel said. And right. Like I told Amber, like, or like the two truths, like, God blesses the work of our hands, but we also have to work. So it's like that, yes, but no, but yes, but no. And so I can really, you guys, I mean, if I'm being honest, really struggle because it's like, okay, wait, God, I'm not gonna lie, I hate sales. I love my business. I do not wanna go into brokerages. I do, like, I'll get up in front of someone if they ask me, hey, you wanna come talk about, sure. Hey, you wanna do, but like going in and like, hey, do you guys have a TC?
Yeah, doing a cold call, yeah. Yeah.
And maybe, you know, sometimes I'm like, Brittany, you know, that makes you uncomfortable. Maybe the Lord wants you uncomfortable. But then the other part of me goes, okay, am I pressing forward? You know, I already have a clientele. And I mean, honestly, I'm kind of happy. Like I get, you know, tired. So am I saying that I have to go forward? Or is it, so that's like my daily struggle in my business is like, Lord, I truly don't want to be ahead of you. And I'm not just saying that as like the thing to say. I know what my life looks like. And you guys, again, I know this. I feel like I'm speaking right now to maybe someone that's like not even sure if they believe. And like, I've been there. And I'm like, okay, so I just had this conversation on Sunday and I just feel like it's important to share. So y'all, I'm not saying this to be cheesy, but when I was a believer, but not like really following God, I ripped apart my marriage with my own tin hand. Almost got divorced. I was drinking. Like I was the girl in the bar, loud mouth, drinking, just causing a problem. Like the girl you probably know has problems, but like she's just the loud mouth. Okay. Ain't scared of nothing. And then I had a college degree and my husband's military and I can't find a job and I'm freaking, that depresses me. And like, I just can't tell you. And that's not everyone's story, okay? You don't have to necessarily be at the bottom of the barrel to find God. But that was my story. Mm-hmm. And so when I go to now where I have the same husband that I tried to divorce with three beautiful children, dogs, a house I never dreamed I would have lived in, a business, again, not floundering, a business. And I've been sober this year for 6 years.
Wow.
It's really hard not to be cheesy and say like, no, really, Lord, I know what I did before when I was in control. So for the love of God, please just don't let me go ahead. Because that's now my biggest thing is like, if he says it to me, I believe. And that's, I think I kind of shared you guys with that. Like Dave always says, the nonprofit. He told me in those 3 years that I was not going to be, that I wasn't working, that I was going to start this nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next day I went out and started the nonprofit. And that, because of course, you know, I'm like, I mean,
gotta go
I
do
was,
the thing.
Oh, yeah. I was making phone calls. I was on the streets for, you know, like, and you guys, I was way too new to be, you know, even in the Lord, like, and of course, I look back now, you know, like the A for effort. He was like, well, like he didn't know.
Well, you know, it's part of the reason he doesn't tell us stuff all the time when we ask him, because he knows what we'll do, right? And I relate to that totally. So you have, though, because and so for this podcast, you should tell this nonprofit story, because
yes,
this is about how you're defining success, right?
Okay.
And so I think that's important.
I also, really quickly, I just want to jump in here because we have not spent any time on any of these Still Processing podcasts talking about gift sets and like how people are built and designed. But actually, Dave and I are quite passionate about this topic. And I just think it's worth pointing out for those listening. You, Brittany, the first time I ever heard you talk, you were leading a small group discussion. And I walked over. It was actually a huddle. It was our team huddle. But it's the first time I'd ever heard you talk. I hadn't even met you before. And I walked over to someone. I don't know if it was Dave or it was our pastor, Christina, or someone. And I said, did you guys hear how strong her prophetic voice is? It was like, it was
you
so
said it to
strong.
Me. I was standing next
and
to
And later I did tell you that.
Yes.
Yeah, I did tell you that. But just now you said, I feel like I'm speaking to someone who maybe isn't believing. And I just, like, I'm pointing this out just to say that the way we're built and designed actually can get carried into every single part of our lives, including work. And so thank you for modeling what it looks like to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying and be obedient to it in vulnerability, because it's just part of being Christians, business owners. It's just being people who are listening to the Holy Spirit. So that was cool to watch. Okay, that's all.
Thanks. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. So talk to us, you know, I don't know how big your client base is or anything like that. But you've made this decision around you want to, you know, invest out of your business into what it is that you believe God's calling you to, which is not only your business. So you're redefining for you what success is. So talk to us about, like, how does that happen? And what is it, you know, what does success look like for you as you think about this kind of this nonprofit thing?
You know, first of all, when I started this, it was for my, like Amy said, for my kids and my husband. You know, like that is our first ministry. And I think even as business owners, we do have to remember that. You know, we always tend to be like, well, I'm a business owner, that's first. No, doesn't say that in the Bible. It says God, our spouse, and then, you know, our kids, and then our work. I mean, it has to go in that order. And I have stories we don't have time for on that too. When my husband's deployed and you think work's got to come first, but it doesn't. It never meshes well until it's in, you know, his order. So like that was the first success. Can I make money, like real money, working at home and still like supporting my very frequently gone military husband and also be with my children, you know, and obviously still be letting the Lord work. And at first it was really hard, you guys, because I had this nonprofit thing. I was like, hold on, wait, I thought I was doing this, but that was during COVID, so we closed it down. And I felt really guilty because I had like even money that I was like, what do I do with this? And I had read a book about how it talks about how sometimes the Lord will kill something to like kind of humble us, you know, and I didn't tell, you know, and then like to raise back. And
yeah,
I will say, like, now that I'm a business owner, nothing fit. I look back, like nothing was fitting. Nothing. It was very much forced on my behalf. Like I got stuck with like trying to apply for like the nonprofit. I'm like, I don't even know how to do this. And I'm like, this is how I know this is not right, because I just would just jive. So now this nonprofit is, it's basically, my whole point is like, it's become, it can start at one thing and then like become something else. And I've heard people say that. They're like, sometimes the original vision is like, the original vision for me was, I'm going to go to these restaurants and they have like leftover food that they have to give away due to, you know, whatever. And we could feed the homeless with all the waste. And like, that was my real thing. Well, then over the years, it started kind of, and I had like dreams about like this table. Look, this is the best part. My best friend Anna loves this part of my story. So in my dream, after the Lord gave me the vision of the nonprofit, it was me going around to these like tables of people, which it's mostly like low income. So like, and that's not necessarily, that's kind of the focus at this point. So we're going around, hey guys, how's dinner, blah, blah, blah. And someone turns and looks at me and goes, well, the sweet tea's not very sweet. And like, I knew that that was confirmation of, but it was also just funny because like, I was always a waitress and you always deal with the general public and like things like that, that's serving, like that's true serving right there. And so now I told you guys, it's developed into this, like, it is going to be a table full of people eating for sure, right? And it is going to be a very much a community base. And I have to point this out because this will go back into the success part. I read this book called When Helping Hurts, and it's all about, long story short, just like how helping can hurt, you know, like basically the whole aspect of like, hey, we're going to give you this stuff, but we're not really teaching you anything. And so like Let's Eat is supposed to be, Let's Eat is the name of the nonprofit, to throw that out there. It is going to be very relational. It's not going to be the, here's some money, go on your way. It's going to be very much like, I mean, kind of like what we're doing here and like in our small group, very much like weekly meals together with the community. Where is, like, I actually know who Jim is. I know what Jim's going through. If Jim has a passion, like, we can help him do that. That's kind of the vision now. If that changes, I don't know.
And so how does that connect back to your business, Brittany?
So the business, like, it's, we opened this room frequently when you guys did, when we watched this video. I just felt like the Lord just calling me to, I had a savings account, and to open it and to start putting money away into the savings account. And I titled the account Yahweh. And I've always given 10% of the business to God, like not just what I pay myself, but the business as a whole. And that was kind of due to the fact, like, how I got the job and how I explained to you guys how I got it. And so once I did that, I was like, I felt like he was telling me, like, keep your 10%, obviously, that I tithe to the church. But the additional 10% that Post Points makes should actually go into the Yahweh account. And so I haven't really gotten much further than that at that point. Like when I had last told you guys, I made my first payment in it. And, you know, it's like a big old $80. But hey, you know, we're starting here. We're not going to despise small beginnings, okay? And also, I don't remember if it was in this week's or not. But like we were talking about investing. Or it's been like a theme on my mind. Oh. We so did. The parable. I'm not gonna lie. I know all
parable
the
talents.
Thank you. I'm like not gonna know the scripture where it is. Nothing. Okay. Yes. And Dave, there was just something about it that I was like, does anybody realize that like the ones I got praised were the ones that invested? And so I was telling Anna, I'm like, I don't feel comfortable investing the Lord's money. Like I was like, if I'm being so honest with you, I'm the guy that got reprimanded. I am 1000% taking God's money and burying it and being like, none of it was spent. Like that is, are you crazy? I'm like, I basically think you're saying just go gamble it away. Like oh my gosh, it just, but so I, you know, again, Dave and Amy, I didn't want to run off tomorrow and start investing in God's money. So, you know, I learned like, no. All he said is do the account.
So what you're doing then, so what you're telling us is that whatever your business produces, that, you know, you are giving a portion of that into this nonprofit that God is still helping you to define. But that means the more successful your business is, the more successful or the more resource there'll be for that ministry or whatever it's going to be. Yeah.
And I feel like that's why he had me do this.
That's awesome.
Because it's kind of like, you know, you look at the like Yahweh account, and but it, like you said, he's going to want his account to grow, right? So like, it's just.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's how this program got started, by the way. I mean, that's how this program is being funded in the pilot phases, but by a gentleman and his family. And every time they sell a business, they take a portion of the proceeds and they invest it. So they're investing resources into what we're doing right now.
That's amazing.
So it's the same thing you're doing. Is that you know, the principle of God giving you seed, but that seed is for sowing. It's not just for to grind up for your own meal, right?
Well, and I think there's a really interesting thing to process here, actually, about that money multiplying. We have someone else who's on one of our mentorship groups. So he's been traveling with us in our mentorship group for, I don't know, a couple of years. And he has this really cool video game based, it's like a youth program that he teaches people all over the world how to do. But the youth program, because it's video game based, can actually build revenue. So it means that any youth group that wants to start this has a built-in revenue stream for how they're going to multiply what they're doing. It's not just a sunk cost. It's not just here's money into this thing that's just going to get eaten and then you're now you just need more money.
Right.
It's like here's money that's going to multiply itself.
Yeah.
And so that's very true for what our donor is doing. I mean, they're taking money, and as opposed to just being a sunk cost, it's being reinvested into things that have revenue streams.
Or that multiply, things that will multiply.
Or that multiply something, right? Maybe they multiply discipleship. They multiply somehow. And so I think the lesson of the parable of the talents is that term, Dave, that biblical term is actually take to market, right?
Yeah. It's care dino.
Go to market.
It means take those resources and go to market with them. Yeah.
Go to market. So it's not just about like, should we put this in an investment account? Although it's a super interesting idea. And I think it's something you should totally ask the Lord about, because it would be kind of fun to be like, I'm literally multiplying this money because it's sitting in a different kind of account. But, you know, really the point is multiply what's happening here. Multiply it through investing in people, in resources. Maybe the program itself multiplies itself because it has a revenue stream, whatever that looks like. The point is that there's something happening, you know?
So what's wild is that when I was listening to, I sent this to Amy last night, Dave, I was listening to one of the Faith-Driven Entrepreneur podcasts on investing, right? Like it just kind of, you know, whatever, caught my eye. And so the podcast mentioned the Helping Hurts book. So of course my ears dinged because that's the book about the nonprofit. And this, you know, I know that this is all connected. Even the Yahweh account is connected to the nonprofit, whether it be directly or whatever. So I'm like, dang. Well, then it also mentioned the Teach a Man to Fish analogy that I mentioned to you guys when Amy asked me to speak. And so I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And so what they talked about investing. And one of the things that stuck out to me, which like I said, I'm not going out and invest in the Lord's money yet because I've not got any direction on that. We're just in the sitting phase. I know it's coming, but I don't know what to do yet. So we're not going anywhere. One of the things that he said in the podcast, it said is, I'm going to read this because I'm not going to butcher it because I wrote the notes. Okay. One of the people was on there. It's like, I feel like there's a lot of people that are investing where there isn't any light. And he was talking about Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men so they can see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And he's like, a lot of people are shining lights where there already is light. Why are you going to bring a flashlight into a place, you know? So, and he's like, so bring a light. And he was talking about investing, bring a light into the room that needs light. And so it struck me because like the whole point was like where you invest matters, right? And so that was kind of my first, you know, logical thought is like, okay, we have to invest, you know, but how, where? And so it's interesting you kind of just said that, like we want to invest where it multiplies or where it, you know, comes back. And so I don't know what that means, but that's why we're still processing.
Yeah. That's good.
It just struck me though.
It makes me think of the story in this video that we watched this week and how this man was crushed not once, but twice. And so, like, I think part of this whole strategy that God has for us is he is helping us redefine how he sees success, but he's making us into something, you know, that has impact and has depth and has character when we touch people. So in many ways, we're like a seed that he's planting. You know, a seed can't grow unless it dies first, right? And it's put in the ground. And the same thing happens to us. And so I think that like there's a really important principle here about understanding our own challenges, but they're designed to get us to rethink what's actually important, you know? And it doesn't matter if you're investing money in some kind of a market deal, or you're investing your time in your business, or you're investing in certain kind of clients. Like all of those things are investments. And
right.
They all, as you said, they should all be investing where there's light, where God's doing something, you know, because that's in the end, isn't that what success is? Like doing what he's doing and putting your time and money where he's putting it, you know? So,
and it's like, I feel like people, you know, always think like, you know, kind of like my husband said, like, it's not a prayer's not a magic, but it's not magic. But I can tell you, and like my sister, I just, again, struggling with an unbeliever, but she said the same thing, like, well, I don't wanna, like, all my success, I struggle with, like, giving up to somebody, right? And I'm like, but if you're in a position where I am as a believer, I know that I couldn't have gotten this far without him. Like, that's the thing. I've already tried. I got nowhere. So, like, I know, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, Yeah, it is different because I know that I'm not in control. He made that very clear. In going back to the tithing thing, it doesn't make sense. I don't think any business owner would be like, yeah, I give 10% away, you know, especially because like you don't even get a write-off unless it's like, you know, not that that matters. But again, but if you're looking at a logical business, it's until it's like an even more than that, you know, so it doesn't make sense. But I believe it. I believe that if he's not in it, there is nothing or nothing sustainable or nothing. Yeah, I don't want it.
Worthy. Yeah, it's the kingdom economics of it all. Well, the upside down situation. The other thing I want to make sure we touch on process a little bit is just this idea. You know, we talked some about this prosperity gospel thing. So whatever you want to call it, you know, there's the technical term of prosperity gospel, but just this idea that we do kind of, especially if we go into business, if the Lord calls us into business, it's like, well, then if I have enough faith and I'm obedient, or if I name it and claim it, then God's just going to bless it, obviously. That just seems so obvious. And that can be true, but not on that basis. And so the other side of that coin is the scarcity, is feeling like if I don't hold it close, well, there's not enough for everyone. You know? And so, like, do you guys have things you're processing about that? Kind of that, all of that versus just walking in abundance. We've said wherever God is where you go, and that's where abundance is, and that's where provision is.
Well, you know,
so I just think
that,
it's complicated stuff to think about and to wrestle with.
That parable that Brittany just mentioned, the parable of the talents or the parable of the minus, depending on which gospel you're
looking at,
you know, and these stories were told multiple times, right? So two stories that are similar, but what was praised, like what Jesus recognized, was not their quote unquote faith. What he recognized was their faithfulness, right? And so the first thing is they took what he gave them and they took a risk. There is no success without risk. So that's the first thing they did. And they could have lost it all, whatever they were doing, right? It was a definite risk. But then he praised their faithfulness, and then he contrasted that with someone who was fearful and who viewed the master as a evil, stingy person who was going to rip him off, right? So that's really, to me, this is about the relationship we have with God, trusting who he is and taking the risks that he leads us to take, knowing that we're going to do it like imperfectly and we're going to take our lumps, you know, because sometimes it's going to be, we're not going to do it right. And God knows that, but he still is looking at us as faithful servant.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I have many stories like that in our business. And I think that's the thing. It's like, you're going to make mistakes, you're going to learn. But I have like a very, you know, and maybe that's what I'm still processing. Like, I have a very non-traditional, like the way this started. It was like, you know, out of my house. So like very little overhead, like a computer, you know. And so like there wasn't a whole lot of risk because like at this point, like I wasn't working. So anything was an increase and I didn't have childcare. But it's like after that, you know, like once I actually started the business, you know, you kind of get, especially with real estate, like it's very up and down, you know, like your amount of clients or even the amount of contracts, you know, real estate slows down. And yeah, it is faith. But like, I like what Dave said about faithfulness, because if you don't think my faith goes up and down sometimes, I mean, that would be a total lie, you know?
Yeah.
And I joke, and I said this last time in our group, but it's true. Like, I have to tell myself, well, Brittany, you've never been homeless before, so I don't think God's going to start now. Like, you know, even when it's, you know, Christmas, because everyone in real estate knows you're not closing deals a lot of times in December. And that's when you're spending the most money, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have to remind myself of that every year. And, you know, I think God's still teaching me all the things, even the, like, what does success look like? I mean, in my perfect world, this is not God's version, but like, I do have scarcity mentality. I mean, if I'm being honest, that has always been, yeah, like not enough. Oh my gosh, looking at the bank account, you know, and I think I don't know. And so
yeah,
tithing is my way of combating it. Cause like, you know, again, I'm going opposite in the kingdom economics. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to tithe even when it doesn't make sense. Like, yeah. Also that's what God wants to see. Like, I'm very aware of that, you know, and I'm sometimes I just have to wait for my heart to catch up. But that's like what Dave is saying. Like, that's faithfulness. That's not necessarily faithful. I'm not, Brittany Poe is not going up there and giving her money. Like, I mean, I'm not saying I'm a cheerful giver, but I mean, I'm not a perfect faithful, like, I know this is coming back to me tenfold, you know, but it's still, the obedience. Like,
yeah. Well, it's interesting, I think. I mean, the first time I'd ever wrestled with these concepts, I also identified a major scarcity mindset. And I think that our toxic positivity, or like toxic faith, it's like all we really know to do if we're trying not to have a scarcity mindset is just to say, oh, no, it's okay. Everything's awesome. The Lord's going to do amazing yeah. things in the name of Jesus, right? So to live in God's abundance is, and to let go of scarcity and to let go of some kind of like weird, empty, like call to faith that comes from you don't know where, but you're just saying it because you don't know what else to say, is to step into, it's more restful. And it actually, I mean, at least so far in my experience, and I think even like hearing your story, right? When you're humble enough to allow Jesus to lead, you're walking in abundance, which actually does lead to blessing. Like,
yeah,
and often even financial blessing. Maybe not like all the riches in the world, but it at very least leads to provision, being able to pay your mortgage from month to month, not wondering if you can eat. Like, it does lead to something actually quite beautiful, which I think is where a lot of people get prosperity gospel from. It's like, well, actually, tithing does often result in our bank accounts being safer, but it's just a totally different heart about it, I guess.
Yeah. And, well, it's not a transaction, right? We're not doing the thing to get another response from God.
Yeah.
In fact, if you look at that parable, like all they really did was they just tried, you know, they didn't have any guarantee it was going to work. They just tried. And I think that's what God's looking for, is that we are stepping in the right direction.
Yeah. And the heart in it, you know, like that's the thing. It's like, and I always say that too, because like, God, I know you know my heart. Like, I swear I'm not just saying that, you know, like, and that's the thing. He does. And it's okay. And I, like, Amy, I think you and even Candace have reminded me that sometimes even when you don't like want to pray about someone or do, it's also just a reminder that like, you still do it, but it's also a reminder to you that like, there's still a place that you got to work, you know?
Yeah. So I find I struggle with, you know, this scarcity and abundance mindset. I find that lives in a talk track in my head.
Yeah.
either one or the other, right? And so when I start to feel anxious, then I have to pay attention to, okay, what's the talk track going on in my head, and what voice is speaking right now, right? And so I have to be conscious about, I'm not going to allow that talk track to continue, because here's what the Bible says, you know?
Yeah, inventory.
So I have to do that all the time. It's just what's rolling on the tape, you know?
And I also will think, like, it kind of jumping back to that, it's not always a financial blessing, but I do think that there's a lot of testing in finances, because that tends to be where a lot of us, you know, of course, hold our whatever treasures. And like, I will say, even one of the biggest tests, and this is like mercy economics again, because if I told people in business, I think I'll do this all the time. If I told anyone in business that I made these decisions, it would just, you know, you're like, but that's not God's giving words. A lot of times it's a test for yourself too. Like, you're like, oh, it's for the other person. No, it's not, it's for you. And like, I had someone that didn't pay an invoice, and you know, the justice in you, and like, well, as a business person, like, and this is, you know, it's not fair and all these things, right? And so I wrestle with it. I, of course, tried to communicate, and I was getting unresponsiveness, and like tried to reach out in another platform. So all the striving, right? All the striving. And again, scarcity. So I'm running on my treadmill one day, and God says, Brittany, I know you can give grace to those that you feel deserve it, but can you give grace to those you feel don't deserve it? And I was like, and of course, you know, the immediate answer in my, I'm like, no. And I mean, you know, because, and like, you guys, when I always, and again, maybe for the non-believer in the room or whatever, it's not this booming voice, but like the way you know it's God is, do you ever think I would say that to myself? No, I would never be like, hey, girl, do you know, you kind of have an issue over here with some grace. And if any other human being said that to me, I would get immediately defensive and be like, excuse me, what? But it's the way of the Father to just be like, hey, I know you're just running on this treadmill. While you're thinking, you know, how about giving some grace over there to Mr. And I'm like, are you kidding? Because of course, you guys, I even tried to do the by the book Christian. I texted very nicely. If there's something going on, I can totally work with you, but you actually have to talk to me, right? So in all the ways, I'm like, he absolutely does not deserve any. And also for all of you flush people out there, I could take him and report it. I could talk to, and all of these business ownery things, of course, come up. And what would a business owner do? And what is my recourse? And should I? Guys, mm-hmm. in all of the flesh, but like, what does that get me? What does that get? Mm-hmm. What does that look for my name? Mm-hmm. What does that I like pressed it? What does it, all the things. And I knew God was saying to comp thin voice, do you know how bad my flesh wanted to text him? Just so you know, the Lord told me, you know, I'm like, and then the Lord goes, hey, Brittany, no. It's like me, Amy, the Kevin Hart meme. Put it down. And I mean, this is the daily thing with, and it's funny because like, I'm telling you guys, if anybody else tried this with me, but the way the Lord and I speak, it's just like that. He's like, no, you're not going to say that. And I'm just like, fine. And I have to have a tantrum and take a breath, you know? Yeah. And let me tell you, the times I don't, he has made me call and apologize to people. So mercy economics, you guys, get it right the first time or you're going to call back and humble yourself and apologize. Yeah. And you're really going to be mortified.
Yeah, so. I have done that. And it is not humbling. Fun, but it is. But we got to be humbled. So there's that.
I called the Verizon guy one day. I said, this is bold, S-H-I-T. And I, of course, was not talking to him, but I said, so I called him back. I'm like, I said to the Lord, I'm really sorry, Lord. He goes, don't say sorry to me. I was like, and I called the guy back and I was like, I just wanted to call and say I was really sorry. He was super appreciative. But, you know, again, it's not perfection. And this is something I always need to learn.
Yeah.
Well,
that's that passage we talked about this week. You know, freely you have received, freely give. And if you don't give it freely, then you're not understanding what you have, right? And it's hard, though, when people are unkind, selfish, you know, and all the other names we could give them. It's not any fun, you know. But that's part of this deal is that people do stuff that wounds us, that embarrasses us, that hurts us, that costs us money. I mean, we had a church stiff us for $9,000. Yeah. And I wrote a 10-page letter to the elders of the church and it was ignored, you know. So like, it doesn't matter who it is. Somebody can hurt you. And my problem is now I got to deal with my own heart and I don't want to carry this around. Like, I don't want to be in bondage. Yeah. Right. So there is this forgiveness part of this. Cause it's not just the financial impact. It's also the soul impact. And then like, if you look at a lot of industries, you can see these hardened, they're really angry. Yeah. They're angry people because they've lived in these bad relationships all this time and they're carrying this stuff around. And I think God doesn't want that for us.
There's a book sometimes you recommend, Dave, about, is it called Mercy Economics?
It's called Kingdom Mercy. No, it's a great book by John Wimber. It's actually out of print, but you can get it. I have two copies that I found online. You can buy used ones. It's called Kingdom Mercy. It's about that thick. But here's a story in there about, you know, the fact that God wants us to forgive, and we can forgive, but we don't forgive. And here's what John Wimber says. He says, because you don't want to. And because you don't want to forgive and you don't choose to forgive, then you wound yourself, you know, and you carry it with you and you rob yourself because it's like a channel, you know, like the life of God is like a channel. And if you don't let it go out and through you, then it just, you know, it just stagnates inside of you.
And, I struggle with like the continued forgiveness. Like, and it's not that like a forgiveness should have a limit by any means, but like, you know, cause you know, there's boundaries. And I tell you guys always, it's always the between that I get struggled with. Cause it's like, you know, that's true. Like what you said is true, but then also is true to like have boundaries in place if people are toxic. And I never know where that is. And I always, John Bevere talked about kind of like what you guys said. It reminded me of your stories with the church. I just like an honor podcast and it was all about honor, like honoring others that even though don't deserve it and how like, you know, it even talks about honoring your kids and how you honor your spouse and your president, even if they're not of your political belief. Can you believe that you actually should honor your president even if they're not? That's crazy. And so, you know, it just goes on and it talked about that too in business. This business owner talked about he did this work for this multi-million dollar company in this company. And the guy was trying to stiff him. And he was, of course, business, mad, this, that. And so he went, he felt like the Lord prompted him to go apologize. So he went, and the guy didn't even know. It's not like the guy, so he went in there and told the guy, like, look, I've been trash-talking you, all this stuff. I'm sorry. Pay me what you think I'm worth. And he said the guy paid him like $5,000, like something minuscule. And it was like a crazy outrageous. And he, of course, was floored. He said not. And he told John Brewer the story, like, I don't know how long later. And of course, there was a waiting because it's not instantaneous. Guy said, oh, you did something right. Good blessing. You know?
Yeah.
He got like a multi-million dollar contract after that. And that's the thing I felt like with that invoice is like, I can hold on to this invoice or I can let it go and see what God has instead. And yeah. After that, I onboarded like 7 or 8 more agents after that. And I'm like, see, that right there is kingdom. It's not.
Yeah.
No, you're totally right. And I think the in-between is sometimes it's lessons learned, right? Sometimes it's like, turns out that person's a snake.
Right.
And I can't work for that person anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I can't take that kind of job anymore. And those are so painful because you think there must have been a way for me to know ahead of time that this person was a snake. But you can't always know, right?
Right.
And sometimes those lessons are just either God allows them or whatever. But then I think the other boundaries come. I mean, there's lots of times when, you know, as you grow your company, you discover policies you have to put into place. Ways you should have communicated ahead of time that you didn't, that created a ton of problems, and now it's in your onboarding content. It never was before. You'll do better next time. Like, you do have to set boundaries because
for sure.
You are instilling culture for people. But I think it's in the conflict that can be the hardest.
Yes,
and you've talked to me about that. And I think, like, for instance, I mean, there in the Sermon on the Mount, there is a ton about subversion. There's a ton about like, how do we behave? So, for instance, he says something about if a soldier asks you to carry all of their gear for a mile, you carry it for two. Why? Why are we just carrying Roman soldiers' gear for an extra mile when they are currently oppressing us? Like, why, as a man, when I was out in the field and you came over and you humbled me in front of my kids and told me to stop what I was in the middle of doing so I can carry your gear and you're oppressing me, I have to now carry it for an extra mile. Why would Jesus say that? Right? But it's, what do you think it does to that soldier for you to say, you must be so tired that you needed to stop me and humble me, and you must be so weak that now I have to carry it for I'm going to carry it for 2 miles. What does that do in their heart?
Yeah.
It confronts them with what they're doing. It's the same thing backhanding someone and then slapping them, allowing them to open hand slap you. It confronts them with what they're doing. So I think sometimes that art of, it is an art of subversion, but it's like, how does Jesus ask us to show up and sort of stand in the face of bad culture and stand in the face of darkness and really get to people's hearts? Like, but it, you know, it's hard.
It's the idea of the kingdom is opposite, is what you said earlier,
yes.
Brittany. The kingdom, so it's a counterculture to the way the world does things. And we are demonstrating the kingdom to people, and it does change them. It does impact them because that kindness, you know, says the kindness of God leads people to repentance. I think it's a great example.
And it's true. You know, when they say you're killing your flesh, that's literally what it feels like, at least for me. Like, in my soul, it kills me, you guys, if I'm being honest, to just let it go. Like, kills justice in me, you know? And it's like, and I'm only saying this, I'm not saying that you should honor that. I'm telling you, for people that are out there feeling like that, that's okay. But the act of doing the opposite of what you feel is exactly what you have to do, because it literally does feel like it's killing you. But every time I do it, I'm just like, I know I'm doing this, so next time it won't be so hard, you know? Like, you just gotta, like, you gotta just push through.
Like, what I'd be tempted to do is, like, make this person a meal and put a note that said, it's obvious you're going through such hard times you couldn't pay me, so I wanted to feed you. Like, that, to me, I'm like, what some weird subversive thing Jesus would do?
You mean passive aggressive? I'm just kidding.
Right, exactly. So that's where like my head goes. And then I'm like, you know, that actually went to a different place, probably that isn't like Jesus.
Right.
And probably like
totally
is not the right choice either.
I clearly see you have no money, so here's some. I'm just kidding.
So it's like the art of subversion, right? And not being passive aggressive, not getting back at them in some weird holier than thou way. Like, I don't have an answer, but it's what Jesus
the
did.
The transparency, like the way you're sharing, Brittany, about how it makes you feel, like it's important that we have that conversation with God, and we don't just fall in line without saying, God, this is horrible. And so I do think being real about your emotions, because I think otherwise we can end up like laying burdens on other Christians to say, hey, if somebody wrongs you, you just have to suck it up.
For sure. You know?
Right. And it's a faith transaction that you're doing in which God says, hey, I want you to show them mercy and I'm gonna bless them and you're gonna pray for them. And you go, God, I'm angry. And in fact, I want to pray the Psalms down on them. I want to do the thunder and lightning, sons of thunder
yeah,
thing
that
on
part.
There.
Can't you do that? Yeah. That was way more fun. Did you watch Chosen to get when the guys like spit on Jesus? I don't remember which two disciples it was. I think it was the brothers. Forgive me, guys. This is me for real. Okay, so they spit on Jesus, right? And he's like, that is literally me in the show. And then what Jesus does, though, and I felt so seen, is he like rebuked him. And he was like, how dare you? Like, you act like you're above any of that. You'd ask me to rain down fire on them as if you don't deserve the same. And I was just like, I was trying to defend you. But like, you know, that's how far it goes.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's be real. Like, these are all hard things that we do, that we learn to do, that we grow through. And we have these choices all the time, you know. But I appreciate you just being transparent about it, because like people need to learn to be honest about how sucky they feel about it. And then at some point, you know, God actually changes your heart.
For sure.
And then you actually feel compassion for the person. You pray, and praying for him helps, you know, a lot. If you pray
it
for
him. It does. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like I said, he nailed it on the head. Like, I know you have empathy and I know you have mercy, but you want to determine if it's worthy. And it's so true. But like you said, it's learned. It's learned. It's you, when you pray for, I want to be better at that, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get a lot of tests in that. I'm like, great.
Yeah. I know. They say never pray for patience.
I know.
Never pray for a heart of mercy. Clearly.
Apparently.
Well, this has been awesome. Brittany,
super
thank
fun.
You so much for your time,
thanks,
for your transparency.
Guys, a great time.
I know everyone is going to get a lot out of this. So those listening, go find someone, process, be angry. Imagine weird meals you could drop off at people's houses just for the fun of it. And then give it over to Jesus and let him be in charge instead.
Well, and also, I think what Brittany said is really important. Sometimes you have to do what he tells you to do and let your heart catch up. It doesn't mean you have to pretend feel like it on the way. But so obedience does precede feelings a lot of times. And eventually you'll feel better. But, you know, and you can tell God how crappy you feel in the middle of it. God, you can mutter all the way as long as you do it.
Yeah.
And then at some point, he will change your heart.
And it's like Amy said, and then the other person's too. That's the thing.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true.
Well, thanks again.
All right, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Have a great rest of your week.
You too. Bye.
Bye.